Are we finally about to have disclosure around UFOs, alien bodies, alien interaction with the United States government, reverse engineering programs, advanced weapons and technology, advanced energy technologies, advanced healing technologies that could reverse cancers, regrow limbs? Are we finally about to get the book opened wide to us? There was a press conference last week, you'll recall, with members of the quote-unquote disclosure community, among them David Grush, out in front of the podium in Washington, D.C., among others, with Congressman Burchett and Congressman Burleson. One of the moments that stood out to a lot of people was when Grush said the United States government has knowledge of at least four different types of non-human intelligence. Some are bipedal life with physical bodies. Others are sentient plasmoid life. And we'll just take a listen.
I certainly don't have the compendium. It's a continuum from corporeal bipedal type life to, you know, what I would consider like sentient plasmoid life. But there are several that the U.S. government is aware of.
So we recently saw, even on Fox News, echoing multiple versions of this same story. So are we all being played here? Is this one big psychological operation trying to cover up for actual disclosure? We wanted to bring in Ron James today. Of course, he is the director of media relations at MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network, and he's the creator of Accidental Truth Next, which is a documentary about beyond UFO disclosure. Like, what comes after this dog and pony show that we're currently witnessing right now? We thought we'd do a deep dive today on what this looks like. So, Ron, thank you so much for being here. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Clayton.
My pleasure. You know, we get excited. I get excited as someone who wants this disclosure. I'm sure you've devoted your life to it. You want the front page news stories. You want Fox News to lead off with it on their nightly newscasts. Here is this evidence. And yet, once again, we seem to be going circling round and round and round at these press conferences, little drips and drabs of information, people repeating some things that they've said 5 years ago, even in front of Congress. They've said on interviews, and the mainstream media sort of treats it as if it's new information and new revelations. Anyway, what was your response to that big press conference the other day?
Well, you know, it's been nearly a decade since we got that first press conference from Lou Elizondo, where he came out and Chris Mellon dropped the videos and the New York Times did the story. And we're really not that much further along than we were then. And when people say, well, that's not true, they've said all kinds of things. If we go back to the 1950s, when General Samford came forward and said the same things about craft that have technology beyond ours that are being sighted by our pilots, we have this thing happening where it's literally a repeat performance of the past. And the stories of crash retrievals, the stories of alien beings, these were all told by government panels, people in committees years ago. And then it went quiet. And now it's resurfaced. And what I think we're seeing is a controlled version of disclosure. But Clayton, we're never going to get the entire truth about this from this process or these people. And that's just an unfortunate fact.
Who's controlling this rollout of information?
I believe, and my research tells me, that back in the 40s, in that time frame between the late 30s and the 40s, some discoveries were made. And a group was assigned by the then president to figure out how to manage this information. Should we share it with the public? What should we do with it? And it was determined that it was going to be secreted away at the deepest levels, that groups were going to be formed that had no accountability to the political process, private industry was going to be involved, and that it turned into this compartmentalized program that very, very few people knew about. And what they've had to do to cover that secret up and to keep the privilege of the technology for all this time is really the story. And so there's elements that want people to know, yes, there's non-human intelligence engaging us, but there's also elements that know they can't tell us everything that they know because they'd have to tell us everything that they've done.
So when you see this press conference and you hear these revelations, these discussions from David Grush talking about bipedal aliens, and we get this little pieces of information coming out. Have we heard all this before? Plasmoid life that we've been interacting with? Is all of this old information?
Plasmoid life is pretty new, and I think that that's going to explain a lot of what we see in our atmosphere, especially in the orb department. And the idea that there's life forms on Earth that we don't know about, that's not a stretch. It happens all the time. We discover new species all the time. And so the idea that there could be a sentient plasmoid life as a whole different life form that we don't yet understand, that could be a very easy way of explaining some of this stuff, and it's probably true. You know, to what extent the intelligence of these plasmoids is, we don't know, because they live in a completely different kind of setup than we do. So acknowledging life on Mars, that happened last year, acknowledging these plasmoids is a pretty harmless way of acknowledging non-human intelligence. But are they true non-human intelligence, or are they just another animal on the planet?
And are we interacting and controlling them with, you know, people obviously discuss what happened to flight MH370? Were those plasmoids that were used in some sort of a teleportation mechanism that enabled that aircraft to disappear? But that's not it. I mean, there's been many examples of this. I'm even reminded of like the Rendlesham Forest incident in the UK in the early 1980s. And you, of course, have those eyewitnesses describing almost sounds like plasmoids in the forest.
Yeah, but of course, in Rendlesham, there was also a nuts and bolts craft. So what are the plasmoids and how do they play a role in the overall phenomenon has yet to be determined. It's going to be interesting to see if they actually admit this and roll it out as some kind of newly discovered life form. But I don't know how many of the questions it actually answers. What role do they play with non-human actual physical technology, if any at all? Or are they just a whole different type of life that's floating around in our atmosphere? We don't know. We're not getting an explanation. But plasmoids are, yes, they're a fairly new introduction to the conversation.
We'll get back to the show in a second, but first, in today's uncertain economy, American financing is helping families find a way out of a high interest trap. We're heading into summer, of course, but the economic clouds aren't clearing for most middle class families. Between persistent inflation, the cost of daily life, you're likely feeling the pressure. You've worked hard for your home and probably have more equity than you even realize. Yet the summer surge is forcing many people to rely on credit cards. It's an exhausting cycle, but American Financing understands that in 2026 requires a real strategy. That's why they have salary-based mortgage consultants with mortgages in the fives. Their customers are also saving an average of $800 a month by wiping out high-interest debt. That's money that stays in your pocket to fight back against rising costs. No upfront fees, no pressure. And if you start today, you could delay two mortgage payments. Call American Financing today at 866-890-8434. That's 866-890-8434. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. And today's episode is brought to you by The Absorption Company. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the supplement industry has a big problem that no one really talks about. We spend billions of dollars every year on supplements, but what if the issue isn't what's in the bottle, but what if the real issue is whether your body can absorb it at all? That's what got my attention about The Absorption Company. Their entire focus of the company is solving the absorption problem. Most supplements absorb at less than 16%, which means the majority of what people are taking every day may never actually get into the body, never get used by the body. I've been using their products, especially their berberine and their magnesium. And what stood out to me is the science behind it. The Absorption Company uses pharmaceutical-grade absorption technology designed to help nutrients absorb dramatically better than standard supplements. The way I think about it is, it doesn't matter how good a supplement looks on a label if your body can't actually utilize it. Absorption is the piece that most companies totally ignore. It's the one thing that affects everything else. So if you're already spending money on supplements, why not take supplements your body can actually absorb? Go to absorbmore.com and enter the code REDACTEDNEWS at checkout for up to 35% off your first order. That's absorbmore.com and enter the code REDACTEDNEWS at checkout for up to 35% off your first order. So, you know, on Fox News a few weeks ago, Jesse Waters got out there and said, according to the sources, four different alien species that the United States government is aware of, has interacted with. What did you make of that revelation or that discussion on Fox News about, you know, white Nordics, typical grays, reptilians, in others that now is this is part of the conversation. All of this, the timing of all of it seems strange as we're talking about Disclosure, the rollout of Steven Spielberg's film on Disclosure, Disclosure Day. The timing just stinks to me.
Well, I think that it's been determined that there's really no way to continue to cover this up. Technology has advanced. Human perception has advanced, and civilian space efforts have advanced. And so at some point, the presence of these beings is going to be something that we just can't deny. And the governments that have tried to cover it up for as long as they have are going to have egg on their face in a big way if they don't figure out a way to get out in front of this and at least tell us something. So they have a conundrum. Some of them want us to know everything, and some of them don't want us to know anything. And the reality of it is about to come knocking on the door. So when we talk about these different types of beings, this has been in the legend and lore for pretty much ever since people have been talking about non-human intelligence on the planet, especially the main players, the Greys and the Reptilians and the Nordics. There's some documentation about Nordics having the secret bases in the middle of the desert, working with the military as partners and co-equals running facilities. We can't prove that, obviously, but, you know, Clayton, where there's smoke, there's fire. These stories about these particular types of beings have been along for a long time. And Eric Davis, who is a scientist who definitely has some of the keys to the kingdom, he brought that up in that congressional meeting and spoke the words right to Eric Burleson, telling him about these beings. And so there's enough circumstantial evidence that these are probably some of the races that exist that we should be paying attention. But what we're not getting is this is true. Here's the pictures. We're not getting the disclosure that we need. What they're filtering out from the government right now is more videos, documents that have been in the public domain forever, and things that can be debunked easily. What we're seeing officially leak has absolutely nothing to do with what we're being told by like David Grush and even Lou Elizondo now, because they can't tell us that stuff. So at some point, the legend and lore and the whistleblower's testimony is going to have to reconcile with what the government is releasing. And I think that they're having a real problem doing that.
When you hear the people throw around the term just PSYOP, you know, I often feel like maybe people don't fully understand what they're saying. They're just doing it in the same way that people throw around. They just throw out, you're racist or you're anti-Semite or that's a PSYOP or, you know, it's a distraction. Or I love my other favorite one is it's a distraction from what? And what do they actually mean when they say that? Do you think that people, when they throw around the term PSYOP, know what they're talking about? Is there any legitimacy to this idea that what we're being, what spoon-fed is part of a psychological operation?
Well, PSYOP can be many different things. And let's not forget that Luis Elizondo had an entire career in disinformation and running PSYOPs. And so did Sean Kirkpatrick, who ran Arrow. There is a lot of PSYOP fingerprints all over the UFO field going way, way back. Sure. There are those who say that the entire UFO legend and lore is just fake, and it was put in place to cover up top secret efforts by the government and the craft that they were developing. So that would say that the whole thing is just, it's fake. All in our imagination. That's a PSYOP. Then another PSYOP is a controlled disclosure of information where the people that have been managing this secret, who have been sequestered and hidden away for years, who we will never know, are pulling the strings of, okay, we're going to divulge this to humanity, but it has to be done in a controlled manner. This is what we can tell them. This is what we can't. And then that is bubbling up to the front-facing people who are taking orders, I believe, from these guys. And so it's all a PSYOP, unfortunately. The only thing that's not a PSYOP would be coming forward and telling us the complete truth, everything they know about these craft and these beings and their interaction with us throughout history. That would be, pure truth is not a PSYOP. Anything that covers up or diverts truth is a PSYOP. And I watched a David Icke video the other day after he reviewed Disclosure Day, and he thinks that whole film is part of the PSYOP, so to speak, because he's got his own idea of reality and who's controlling it. But I would say that anything that's not 100% truth is a PSYOP at some level, because it is by nature.
So you've spent many years of your life devoted to the Mutual UFO Network and uncovering the truth and trying to separate fact from fiction in your investigations. What do you know for sure in all of your research? What can you say unequivocally based on the data points and the interviews, the eyewitness testimony, the physical materials, everything else? What do you know for sure that the United States government maybe has in its possession, is aware of, is keeping from the American people?
Yeah, that's a great question, Clayton. That there's very few things that I would actually sign off on as my definitive knowledge. Excuse me. The one thing is that there seems to be fingerprints on our evolution on this planet, and there seems to be evidence of past civilizations that we cannot explain. And so that is one thing, that there is a history here of the existence of other beings or other races or other civilizations we don't know about. That's pretty solid, good evidence for it. The other is that there is no argument left for the absence of life in the universe. Every scientist that you speak to now will say and agree, I can't say every, but probably most, that yeah, there has to be life existing outside of Earth. It would be silly to think not. So there is definitely going to be intelligent, evolved life out there. And the third is that the government and its partnerships with industry, and before that, the church and the different religious institutions, they have all known about this for as long as we've kept written records and have chosen to use it to either manipulate society or to just keep the secret from society to the benefit of a select few. So those three things I would sign off on, absolutely. Would I say that there's definitely reptilians and gray aliens and tall whites? It's in the gray box. I cannot go out and say that I have definitive proof of that, but there's a lot of evidence to many of these further explanations and scenarios.
What would you say over the past few years has stood out to you as some of the most compelling evidence in favor of, you know, intelligent life in your research? What do you think that maybe people aren't fully aware of?
Well, you know, one of the things that we have to start paying attention to is how can we solve the puzzle of these phenomena without taking into account some of the things that are considered esoteric. And so we have what we call experiencers. And I was so glad to see James Fox mention this at the beginning of the press conference the other day, because I've been trying to get members of Congress to take the experiencer phenomenon into account. And usually when you get there, their eyes glaze over. They're not ready to talk about abductions and people having personal encounters and some of the other things like, you know, possible hybrid programs. This is just now starting to come into the conversation. But that is where most of the compelling evidence lies, besides what the government and the military has that they're not going to share. So we have people having contact with non-human intelligence in a variety of ways. And the trend that we're seeing now is that these people are actually being given physical objects. Like right here in the film, you're going to see the study of some metal that came from a very well-known UFO case. I actually went to Ohio in between congressional hearings. I pulled these samples and I brought them back and I turned them over to Senator Kirsten Gillibrand personally to be examined by Arrow. And their results do not match the results of the private labs that we've been working with. So it's a very interesting story there. But this guy's tale is not unusual. He is one of many who are getting, you know, not only having experiences, but then there's these samples of this stuff that defies analysis. It's being left in their hands. It's almost like they're being given something physical to help bolster the story that they're telling. And we have samples of this. It's in the film. It's a very, very interesting case, but this is a sample from the same batch I pulled for Kirsten Gillibrand. We have this available to any bona fide lab that would like to test it. And we're not saying that we believe it came from a flying saucer, but we are saying that it's a very, very strange case with a long history. It's been studied by NASA. It was studied by Battelle. Tom DeLonge and Lou Elizondo and Chris Bledsoe went to this guy's house and took samples of this very same metal, and the test results disappeared into an ocean, I guess, because the guy can't get his information back. The test results are classified, or we can't tell you what they are. So I think that's the biggest thing. Sorry for such a long answer.
No, I love
is
it.
that experiencers, the stories they tell from all over the world, the messages that they're getting about how we need to clean up the planet and clean up our act and quit killing each other and become a species worthy of going into space. And the fact that that sometimes they're getting physical samples now of stuff that helps them to bolster the stories they're telling. That's the biggest leap I've seen yet.
I mean, wouldn't it be great if we had a day, was it day after tomorrow event where we literally have some sort of a craft land on the White House lawn or, you know, on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and that all the television cameras would be there and filming it. But, you know, in many ways, as we've heard it argued, we are like peons. We are ants. We are, I guess, prehistoric in many ways as a species, the fact that we're killing each other on a regular basis. Do you think that that's a legitimate argument that we're in many ways insignificant to them and therefore we're not going to see a craft landing on the White House lawn because the White House is as equally insignificant?
Well, there's no room to land a craft on the White House lawn right now because they've set up a cage match so we can have modern day gladiators in the United States. So that's a sad commentary on the state of affairs. I believe that as a species, we have the right to self-determine. We, at some point, our level of sentience, if there were outside extraterrestrial and non-human forces that had an interest in this planet and an interest in us, there became a time when it was like, hands off, let's see if these guys develop. And we can either develop into being worthy of being a spacefaring civilization, at which point there may be contact that says, hey, welcome humans, could have already happened. But then at another point, we display that we're just not going to be able to get past our aggressive warlike natures. And the ultimate path to that is self-destruction. So in the film Accidental Truth Next, we point out, and Whitley Strieber says it so well, they're either midwives or undertakers. And unfortunately, it's up to us to make that determination. And I say unfortunately because I don't think we're doing a very good job. But that what you're talking about is catastrophic disclosure. Right now, there is this thing that has been called controlled disclosure. They're dropping out information a little bit at a time, and they're building it up. But my personal opinion about that, Clayton, is you guys have had 100 years to tell us the truth. You've dragged this out for almost a decade since Lou Elizondo came forward. Enough already. Either get it done, or I would love to see some kind of definitive proof put directly to the public that's not coming through this pipeline of these people that are controlling it. And we call that catastrophic disclosure. Aliens landing on the White House lawn, a spaceship being paraded out by some scientists that know where it is. Something that comes to the public that is absolutely definitive and solves the question once and for all, that is not being controlled by these people. That's catastrophic disclosure. That's the name they've given to that kind of scenario. I personally have run out of patience with these guys, whoever's continuing to do this in this way. It's not a popular opinion because other people think we need to just be quiet and be good little children and go along with this controlled disclosure. So I'd like to see catastrophic disclosure. I'd like to see it tomorrow. And we have some materials and some evidence that is going to make its way to Congress pretty soon. I have a list, Clayton, of names of witnesses, not people who heard something, actual people who worked on programs that spoke to UFO investigators in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. I have names, the bases they worked at, that we have the crash retrieval cases that actually happened, where they occurred, when they occurred, where they went. We've been working on this list for a long time, and you know, at some point, we're going to make that available to members of Congress. And if we don't get anywhere with that, we're going to make it public. So this list is going to get me in a lot of trouble, but we have it.
Do you think that there's enough whistleblower protections in place? Because you know, as we've spoken to secret space program insiders who've, you know, had their lives threatened on a regular basis, others on the, you know, who worked on some of these special access programs, obviously, who've had their lives threatened. Do you think there are enough whistleblower protections in place to take care of these people?
Not by a long shot. In my film, I asked Kirsten Gillibrand firsthand to just look at my camera and please assure whistleblowers that they are going to be okay if they come to you, and that would be coming to Arrow. And she did. She stood for me right there in the hearing room, looked right at the camera, and said, whistleblowers are safe. I can guarantee that. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand says that in the movie. But then we point out right after that that Mr. Borland, who all he did was report that he saw a craft on a military base, has been literally destroyed. There's a whole section in the film about people that have gone to Arrow and tried to be whistleblowers and have either been discouraged or literally attacked. And so this mechanism right now that's in place to protect whistleblowers, I believe, is more in place to identify whistleblowers. And I think that these disappearing scientists, there's some of them that are very connected, and we're going to find out that some of the more prolific ones, especially the ones that were connected to McCasland, work with propulsion, work with certain type of sensors, worked with different types of materials. These people were already starting to feel the water for becoming a whistleblower. And the people that are rolling out this new narrative are going to do everything they can to protect it, including taking out potential whistleblowers. And the way they find out who's a potential whistleblower is by looking at who's examining the possibility of becoming one. So yeah, it's tar right now, and there are no solid protections. There's only the illusion of protection. But everybody that actually comes forward, David Grush, they're even right now trying to figure out some way to pin espionage charges on him, which I think is all part of the dog and pony show. But the fact of the matter is, I wish whistleblowers were completely safe. As of right now, they're not.
Do you believe, when you look at these missing scientists story, right? You and I have spoken before on the show about this, mysterious deaths, gunshot wounds to the head, General McCasland, who was, according to Congressman Burchett, literally a gatekeeper for UFO information, his relationship to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base and Space Force and all of that. Do you believe that we know the full extent of this story?
Not by a long shot. There are some of these people that, excuse me, there's some of these people that literally did disappear or were killed or died for things that are unrelated. But there is a core group that is significantly related. And the whole situation with McCasland, what people don't know is that he was sitting at the top of the food chain at Wright-Patterson. And we know for a fact that if there are things like alien bodies in rooms full of technology that we've recovered, Wright-Patterson is one of the clearinghouses and probably storage places for this stuff. We actually have in this list I told you the exact rooms and floor levels that at Wright-Patterson where this stuff is stored. And so he knew all this. He had to. And for him to come forward and be a whistleblower would be devastating to this machine. And we know that he was already leaking information to people like Tom DeLonge. He was very friendly to that. We also know that he probably had another Twitter account where he was dropping information. And it's quite possible that he was willing to be some kind of a whistleblower and come forward. And same thing with Amy Etheridge. You know, she was very vocal about how her anti-gravity research could get her killed. A lot of other people doing anti-gravity research have disappeared or died. And so there's a few people that are in this list that we can definitely make connections. And McCasland is at the top. His disappearance is absolutely, it's unexplainable. His wife is very nonchalant about it when she was writing tweets. Did you notice that the day he disappeared, she made some comment about he might have been abducted by aliens? And then on the phone call that she called to 911, she said, he's gone. I don't think he wants to be found. This doesn't sound like a distraught wife who doesn't know what's going on. It sounds very different.
Yeah, you listen to that 911 tape. It's very weird. And
yeah,
it doesn't sound like she's super concerned. But you know, people grieve differently, and people speak differently, and she's an older lady. I don't know, but it seemed very, very strange that she seemed to believe that he just wasn't coming back and that he maybe didn't want to be found. And she seemed kind of like aware of that. I don't know. It struck me as very strange.
Well, the guy walked off into oblivion with a gun. And the fact of the matter is that many things could have happened, and none of them are good.
Right. Yeah. And having that meeting the night before with members of Space Force, you know, that is deeply disturbing. Do we have any sense of what might have been discussed that night before, as eyewitnesses had that? I mean, he's retired, but if, to my mind, members of Space Force were there meeting with him in some kind of important meeting. Do we have any idea what that was about?
You know, it would be pure speculation. I certainly wouldn't have any way to say for sure, but it's no coincidence that that meeting took place, because, you know, somebody who's retired, even at his level, is not generally part of active ongoing programs. So there would have been some kind of discussion there, probably about classified things that he knew that they needed to know. Or maybe it was, you know, something to do with him wanting to go public with certain information. We can only speculate, but it's highly suspicious that he was having high level meetings and then he's gone.
So your film, Accidental Truth, Beyond UFO Disclosure, attempts to really answer, like, what comes next? Because we're not there yet. We're in the muck way before that. Once we get disclosure, once we get full disclosure, well, first of all, what does that even mean to you? Like, what does disclosure even mean at this point? And then what comes next?
So thanks for asking, Clayton. To me, full disclosure means that the government is going to come forward through official channels and say they're going to open the files. They're really going to open the files. It could be President Trump standing up and going, oh, by the way, here's all the photos and video from Roswell. You know, that kind of thing. That's full disclosure. Everything that they know about this that they can't legitimately justify under national security. Admitting there's non-human intelligence, even different types of aliens, is not classified. It shouldn't be. So a full disclosure from a government body, admitting as much of the truth as they can tell us, that's what we call full disclosure, capital D disclosure. What we're getting right now is not that. And then the in the film, once we understand, and we should by now, we should all agree that there's probably a variety of non-human intelligence around us. It's been with us, and we point this out in the film, it's been with us since the beginning of our recorded history. There has never been a time in the story of humanity that our writings, our teachings, and our history has not involved non-human intelligence. They were seeing orbs for all the way back to the Dark Ages. Christopher Columbus saw them while he was crossing the Atlantic to get to the New World. There's been airships and spaceships peppered throughout our history. And so the idea that this is something new is, it's kind of funny. And the idea that we as this advanced civilization now, reasonably, still have not figured out some way to reconcile our most ancient teachings and the experience of millions and millions of people and the knowledge of our government and the secret knowledge of our churches and religious institutions. The fact that we haven't been able to figure out and agree that there's some kind of non-human intelligence is, you know, it's kind of disturbing. But my film takes the idea that after we go through Congress and I show you guys some behind the scenes things that we did in Washington, D.C., which you're going to learn some brand new stories, all of the inside story of David Grush, how we hacked the hearings by texting questions directly to a congressperson to ask in real time and got some revelations. It's an adventure through D.C., but about a third way through the movie, it stops. And then we examine these materials cases and these very strange things that are happening to experiencers that are just hard to explain. There's one sequence where we have actual material from a UFO, and it's absolutely indisputable that it came from something that we can't identify. Rather, that's Earth made or not, it's extremely strange, and it comes with a story. And then finally, to answer your question, sorry I took so long, we get to the point where, are we even asking the right questions? First, we have to accept, is consciousness fundamental? Is our whole entire materialist science not working anymore? Is our vision of what space and time really are really the right way to look at all of it? And what about AI? And what about the possibility that we're evolving into a post-biologic future? What if the whole entire planet is being groomed to be eventually run by an AI system that has been in existence in this universe for longer than we have? What if we're living in a simulation? How, what does that even mean? Science is coming closer and closer to proving these things. And so we've got to start saying, wait a minute, these phenomena are real, but what are they here to teach us? And where do we go once we digest that knowledge? And like I said, we're not asking the right questions yet. And the whole back end of the film, featuring Thomas Jane, featuring Rizwan Virk, featuring Whitley Strieber, Dr. Diane Hennessy Powell, featuring Ross Coulthart talking about his own journey through consciousness. The whole end of the film examines what's next. And it's the prequel to the next chapter in this revolution.
Today's show is brought to you by Buy Optimizers. Are you waking up at 3 a.m. with your mind racing, struggling to get back to sleep? Or maybe you've noticed more brain fog, less energy, more stress than usual. For a lot of women, especially during perimenopause and menopause, shifting hormones can affect magnesium levels, and that can impact sleep, relaxation, and overall well-being. That's why I want to tell you about Magnesium Breakthrough from Buy Optimizers. This isn't just another supplement. It's a PhD-formulated magnesium complex that combines seven different forms of magnesium designed to work together to support relaxation, restful sleep, stress management, and recovery. That's what I love about Bioptimizers. They've spent more than 20 years researching and refining their products, over 15,000 lab tests behind their formulations. So if you're ready to get better sleep, finally, and feel more like yourself again, head to bioptimizers.com/redacted news. You have to put the news on there. And use our exclusive code REDACTEDNEWS to get 15% off any order. You're also going to get great discounts, free gifts, and the peace of mind of never running out. Plus, every order is backed by a 365-day, no-questions-asked money-back guarantee. That's a full year, completely risk-free. Again, that's buyoptimizers.com/redactednews. Use the code REDACTEDNEWS for 15% off. Make this year the year you finally get your sleep, your energy, and yourself back. And we have to tell you about our friends over at Quophone. Have you ever realized how many customers slip through the cracks, missed calls, follow-ups that never happen? Well, it adds up fast. That's why today's episode is brought to you by Quo. That's spelled Q-U-O. It's the business communication system built so you never miss a phone call. If your team's communication is messy, customers are going to feel it. You're going to have missed messages, dropped threads, slow replies. Think how many small businesses lose money just because they don't get back to customers. It's one of the easiest ways to lose momentum. That's why today's episode is brought to you by Quo, Q-U-O. It's the business communication system built so you never miss a phone call. Your entire team can handle calls and texts from one shared phone number. So no more missed messages or dropped conversations. Everyone sees the full thread. Replies are faster. Customers actually feel like they're taken care of. Quo is the number one rated business phone system on G2 with over 3,000 reviews. So look, money is always on the line. Always say hello with Quo. Try Quo for free, plus 20% off your first 6 months when you go to quo.com/redacted. That's quo.com/redacted.
No, I think that's maybe the most important part, obviously, and I think that's a great way to look at it. Are we even asking the right questions? You know, speaking with David Icke in multiple interviews that I've done with him, I think that's really at the heart of what he's pointing out is that we're asking the wrong questions, right? It's that we are, according to him and according to his revelations through consciousness and his connections to as you would say as an experiencer, reptilians, being that we are in a simulation, that we are operating within a simulation. And this part of this control grid that's being put in place, this AI control grid, is really the final piece of this plan.
I know David, and him and I did a video together back around the time Obama got elected. It was called Our Time to Shine. And it was David and I talking about a lot of those things. And the whole simulation theory, I completely agree with them. I think it's unfortunate if some of the things he says are actually true. I mean, we come to this place. I believe we're spiritual beings that seek a human experience, and we're doing it here. But the idea that we're just slaves or we're under control to different things that we can't, there's nothing we can do about it. That's a little discouraging. So I hope there's I hope there's a way beyond that. But simulation theory, the idea that we are living in a reality that is basically a simulation, even the most core basic principles of physics are proving this. This is not something that is esoteric conjecture anymore. We're getting scientific evidence that it's true.
Right. There's plenty of scientists have now said it's true. And there's people that are not scientists, but that are also one of the largest defense contractors in the world. Elon Musk says it's true. So,
yeah,
and then I asked David Icke that question, you know, do we have agency then? And his position is that we do have agency, even though we're in this simulation. By having this awareness, you are actually able to, you can use it to your own benefit to sort of break free of it. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it's hard if you're being totally controlled and you have some agency to take the red pill. What are you really seeing then? Like, what is this universe then? If you are red pilled, if you do break free of the simulation, David describes it as like this beauty, right? This this almost like astral beauty that you become a part
people
of.
People would call that, excuse me, the collective consciousness. They would call it God, this sea of conscious energy that is fundamental. And in David's work, you know, there's these spirals upward. You start here on Earth in this dense environment, and you spiral spiritually upward through different levels until you eventually make it back to the One. The One, by definition, is the I Am, the God, the conscious energy that is fundamental. One of the things that we're having a real problem with in society and in science is the question of whether or not consciousness is fundamental. People don't really understand what that means. What it means is, is consciousness the only true force in the universe? And if it is, then by its very definition, everything that arises from consciousness is illusionary and therefore simulated. The desk you're sitting at, the chair, the fire behind you right now, the fake fire, if it is.
But you don't know.
I don't know. But I'm making a joke. But the all of it is an illusion. And even the basic rules of physics and what they've discovered tells us this. This desk isn't really a desk. It's just energy that we're perceiving as a desk. And so we live in a universe that is governed by mathematics and cascading algorithms. It is literally a program. We don't have any other way to describe it. And Gary Nolan and Rizwan Virk and a lot of people in my film are trying to help people come to grips with simulation theory. Are we spiritual creatures having a human experience? Well, the thing that makes that human experience possible is the simulated reality that we're in. And all of our ancient religious teachings all tell us that this is an illusion. The grand illusions in Christianity, Jesus talking about this reality being an illusion. The Maya in Eastern religions, even Islam talks about this world being, you know, kind of like Kabuki theater. They almost think that it's a laughable illusion. But there's no spiritual teaching that says, that does not reaffirm that we're living in an illusionary reality. And so how does that all play into what are UFOs and what are non-human intelligence and what role do they play in helping us to puzzle out the bigger questions about our existence? And so this film it's about that. And it's definitely turning a lot of heads. It was number one on the Apple documentary charts for a minute. It's still way up there. And people have mixed reactions to the things that are being put forth. But they're questions we have to examine.
The film is called Accidental Truth, Next, Beyond UFO Disclosure, and it is narrated by Matthew Modine, and it is a film by Ron James, who's been our guest. I hope you're right. I mean, I hope that we can move beyond. That's the goal, is like we can finally get past this disclosure thing that we've been dealing with now for, seems like, decades, but, you know, really in earnest over the past decade. I thought maybe this New York Times piece, finally, Leslie Kane, like we'll get this information out there. No, still dragging their feet. And to me, it's the biggest story of all time.
It is.
It's the biggest news story of all time. And I think, you know, people have gotten such fatigue from it. And I think that that's an intentional fatigue. And that's what really bothers me. It's they've intentionally worn us down. And that really bothers me.
Yeah, Clayton, we are on the verge of a revolution for humanity. But we really cannot get there until we can acknowledge some basic facts. That we're not alone. That we're part of a bigger intelligent life environment and ecosystem. There are a variety of life forms, whether they're interdimensional, non-human intelligence that has lived here on the planet. It lives on other planets, comes to us in and out of the simulation, or things that appear as angels and demons in traditional teachings. There seem to be some wagons being circled. So many people that say it's angels and demons will also say, that's it. That's all it is. That's the explanation. And they're not, I'm not seeing a lot of open-mindedness. You know, I'm willing to say, hey, the angelic demonic references in traditional spiritual teachings probably apply to some of what we're seeing here. It was how they were explained then. And the motives could even be the same now. But for the people that are not willing to look beyond that and say, well, maybe there's other things too. You know, if there's plasmoids, does that make them demons? No. So we're seeing people circle the wagons around their pre-existing belief systems. And it's the single most destructive and threatening force towards disclosure. And it's the thing that illustrates that maybe we're not ready for the truth, because we're already starting to take sides in the battle about what these things are. And we need to have open-mindedness, and we need to have respect for other people's opinions, and we need to go where the evidence leads us and not cling to belief systems and use it as an excuse to start fights, which is, you know, kind of the whole problem on the planet right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I come back to Thomas Sowell, great economist. Show me the evidence. Show us the evidence, and let, you know, show us the facts, and then we can make our, you know, our determination based on that instead of just our belief systems. Ron, great to see you, my friend. Really appreciate this. This is where we are right now in the disclosure movement, caught between a rock and a hard place, it seems. But hopefully some of these boulders are about to be moved. Thank you so much, Ron.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And people can see the movie on Amazon and Apple, YouTube, all those places. It's out right now. Yeah, it's doing pretty well, and I hope it helps people think beyond the box that we seem to be stuck in.
Yeah, go check it out. YouTube, Apple TV, Amazon, Accidental Truth Next, Beyond UFO Disclosure. Please go check it out. Even my dog Grover is excited about it. Ron, great to see you, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Clayton.